We're in the third week of our worship series, No Outsiders, and we kicked that series off a couple of weeks ago where I shared a message about how if we were to look in the Bible, we'd see that there are these stories of insiders and outsiders. And if we read those stories really carefully, we find that whenever the Bible is describing those that would be considered insiders, it's interesting to hear what the Bible says about the insiders. It's the insiders in the Bible who again and again are stumbling. It's the insiders who are struggling to understand what God is up to. It's the insiders that fall asleep and worship other gods. Well, the stories about the outsiders, in those stories about outsiders, the Bible's always pointing to them and saying they kind of get it. They're compassionate to what God is up to. They understand. And we were reminded that throughout the Bible, there's this story that there are absolutely no outsiders to God's love. Last week, Pastor Nathan continued the series. He talked about churches and how sometimes churches can be places rather than of inclusion, of exclusion. And he challenged us, are we going to be a church for just insiders, or are we going to be a church that welcomes outsiders? Well, today, like I said at the beginning, I want to get a little bit personal, and I know that makes everybody a little bit nervous, but I believe, as I talked with the kids, that there is a story that every one of us tells ourselves. You have a story you tell yourself about yourself that excludes you from being an insider. And I want to start by getting into this, by talking about sports. How many of you played sports as a kid? Anybody? Anybody play flag football as a little kid? I played flag football. I remember I was knee high. I thought I was going to be the next Fran Tarkenton, right? My parents signed me up for flag football, and I think they knew that my dream of being Fran Tarkenton, of being in the NFL, was not going to come true, because at the first practice, they loved to remind me of this story. Every time the ball was hiked, I would run after every player on the other team, and I would grab every flag I possibly could. And then I bring this pile of flags to the coach and say, "Coach, didn't I do well?" Huh? Like, I think they knew my dreams weren't going to come true. I also played baseball. Anybody play baseball as a kid? Here's a really great picture of me in fourth grade. Look at that scrawny runt, huh? I wanted to be Mark McGuire or Jose Canseco or Kirby Puckett, but I think my parents knew that that scrawny dude was never going to make the majors. Here's another picture. I played hockey. How about that hair? When I was in sixth grade, I played hockey. I started playing hockey because all my friends played hockey. It's pretty hard to catch up when you don't start playing until you're in sixth grade. And so I took an early retirement from hockey to take care of that hair. I wanted to be Wayne Gretzky, but you know what? Reality caught up with me. You see, in our lives, reality doesn't always keep up with our dreams. Have you noticed this? Reality doesn't always keep up with our dreams. I did a little research on sports this week, and I found something kind of interesting. In baseball, let's say you have a son who plays baseball in high school. He's a senior in high school, and he's on the starting team. I did a little research and found that 3 out of 50 high school seniors who start on the baseball team will end up playing in college. 1 in 10 college players will ever get drafted. 1 in 33 of those drafted to the minor leagues will ever even sit on the bench in the major leagues, which means that 1 in 6,600 high school baseball players will ever make the major leagues. Now get this, as a high school senior playing baseball, you have a better chance of guessing my ATM pin number on the first try than making the major leagues. And it's pretty close for all sports. In basketball, 1 in 35 high school seniors who are on the starting team will ever end up playing in the NCAA. 1 in 100 of NCAA players get drafted, which means 3 out of 10,000 high school senior basketball players will make the NBA. Now get this, as a high school senior playing basketball, you have a better chance of getting 4 of a kind in the first round of draw poker than making the NBA. So I say all this because we know that reality rarely keeps pace with our dreams. In fact, if there's something we all know, it's that our successes are rarely the final story in our lives, unfortunately. Our successes are rarely the final story in our lives. And unfortunately, this just isn't about sports. You see, maybe for you in your life, you've experienced something like this. You started a career, you climbed the ladder, and you were incredibly successful. But somewhere along the way, something happened in that career. And your career took a detour. Or maybe for you, you married the love of your life. And you had it all. You had the house, the kids, the dog. But somewhere along the way, something happened and you realized that love wasn't mutual. Or maybe for you, your career was flying, but it was stressful. And so to cope at night, you came home and you had a couple of drinks. And at first, that was one day out of the week. And before you knew it, it was every day of the week. And before you knew it, you were in the clutches of alcoholism. You see, maybe you had a friend or a business partner. And you guys were inseparable. And things were going well until one of you betrayed the other's trust. Or maybe for you, your childhood was tough. And you overcame obstacles no one thought you would ever overcome. And you soared in life. But now you're an adult and you realize that you just can't shake that past, that the past has a hold on you. You see, here's what we know in life, I think. Our successes are rarely the final story in our lives. And when this happens, when we hit a blunder or we have failures in our lives or our past grabs a hold of us, those experiences of coming off those successes, they have this impact on our lives. And that impact comes with a message that it tells us day in and day out. And that message is that you're not enough the way you are. That because this or that happened in your life, you're just not enough. You are no longer an insider. You see, I believe every last one of us has a story we tell ourselves about ourselves. You have a story you tell yourself about yourself that excludes you from being an insider. I've got a story like that. I had a couple of different careers becoming a pastor, but one of those I worked for Microsoft. And sometimes I miss my stock options, I got to be honest. But here's what about being a pastor, here's what happens. You sit at a restaurant or at the bar or you get on an airplane and you have that conversation with a stranger. And I always dread this question, what do you do for a living? And I'll say, well, actually, I'm a pastor. And do you know that 9 times out of 10, they say nothing back to me? That's the end of the conversation? And so the message in my mind is, you're kind of weird. You're a pastor. People don't want to hang out with you. You see, we all have a story we tell ourselves. Some of you are sitting here and you've got a story going through your head. You're looking at all these other good-looking people who are here today and you're saying, I don't belong here. When it comes to faith, these people, they know way more than I do. These people know the Bible. They know when to stand, when to sit. They know what that red book in the pew is for. You know, if these people really knew who I really was, they wouldn't welcome me like they do. Or maybe there's a story you tell yourself when you're around a group of friends. You're around that group of friends, and yeah, you're part of the group, but you always feel like you're a little bit on the outside. Because they're more successful than you in your mind. Or their kids are doing more than your kids are doing. Or they go on vacations you could never imagine. You see, we have a story we tell ourselves about ourselves that excludes us. Or maybe it's in your family. Maybe since you were born, you've always been the one who's sort of the clown in the family. Or you're the one who's the screw-up. Or maybe you're the one who everybody thinks is the stick in the mud. You see, you have a story you tell yourself about yourself that excludes you from being an insider. We all do. And I believe this was an issue way back when in biblical times because Jesus, we're going to hear today, tells a story about a blind man. And he tells this story because the disciples encounter this man, and it's clear that they are playing this insider-outsider game. You see, the story goes like this. The story says, as he, Jesus, went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, Rabbi,
who
sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. And after saying this, he spit on the ground. He made some mud with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and
came home seeing.
You see, with miracle stories like this in the Bible, I think we often focus in all our attention on the miracle. We ask, how did Jesus do it? Was it magic like Harry Houdini or Harry Potter? Was there some special quality to the mud that he put on the man's eyes? How long did it take for the man to be healed? But here's what I want to say. I don't think this story is about that healing, the miraculous healing at all. You see, I think this story is told so that we'd focus in on what those disciples asked Jesus. They're walking down the street, they see this blind man, and the disciples turn to Jesus and say, what did he do? What did he do to deserve being blind? Because he obviously did something. What did he do to be blind and be an outsider? If it wasn't him, Jesus, it must have been his parents who did something wrong. Jesus, what did he do? You see, this sounds kind of weird, but in this day and in that day and age, people believe that if you had some infirmity, if you were blind, if you were maimed, that it was because of something either you did or your family did, or someone you loved did. It was punishment. You were an outsider because of something you did. And as the story goes on, we're going to find that all the characters in the story believe this, because they can't believe what Jesus did. Once you're an outsider, you're an outsider, his neighbors seem to suggest. There's no get out of jail free card. It says here about his neighbors. His neighbors, the neighbors of this blind man, and those who had formerly seen him begging, asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? How then were your eyes opened? They asked him. He replied, the man they called Jesus, he made some mud and he put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. They can't believe that Jesus would do this. Neither would the Pharisees, the sort of high rollers in the church. They can't believe Jesus would do this. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Some of the Pharisees said, this man, Jesus, is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath. But the others ask, how can a sinner perform such signs? You see, they can't believe that someone of God would do something like this. Once you're an outsider, you're an outsider. And then they so don't believe that they go on and ask his parents, the blind man's parents. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. And then it says, a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Then they hurled insults at him. You see, they can't imagine that this man who had been an outsider would be brought back inside. They can't imagine, because I think they're just like you and me. You see, we all have a story we tell ourselves about ourselves that excludes us from being an insider. And they knew that about that blind man, but they also knew it about themselves. And it's the way it had always been. They knew that there was a story inside that blind man that said, you're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You're blind. You're not like the rest of us. But they also knew that they had that story inside themselves, and nothing was ever going to change that. And here's what I believe today. It's true for us too. It's true for us too. We have that story. And here's how I know this. Here's how I know this. Now I'm making everyone nervous. Molly, I'm going to pick on you. If I were to look at Molly and I were to say, Molly, you're probably one of the most beautiful people in this room. And I know you're a counselor and you're really good at what you do. She's getting really uncomfortable right now. And I'm so thankful that you're part of this church. Here's what Molly would do. You know what Molly would do? She'd go, no, right? When we get a compliment, what's the first thing we do? No, that can't be true. You know why? Because we all believe that there's something about us that excludes us, that we're outsiders. You see, I believe Jesus told that story not that we would be impressed that Jesus could do miracles, but that Jesus knew inside every last one of us there's a story that we believe excludes us from being an insider. And here's what Jesus wanted that blind man, those Pharisees, and you to know. That story isn't true. It's not true. It never was, and it never will be. You see, eventually the blind man, he can see again, and he gets in front of all these people who are questioning what's going on. It says, the blind man answered, now that is remarkable what you say. You don't know where he comes from, yet this Jesus, he opened my eyes. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Now listen to what they say. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they
threw him out.
Because they knew that story was inside them too. We all have a story we tell ourselves about ourselves that excludes us from being an insider. And Jesus tells this story so that you and I know without a doubt that story just isn't true. And so if you're here today and you're looking at all these fine looking people and you're going, I'm not one of them. If they knew my story, they wouldn't welcome me in this place. Here's what I want you to know. That story isn't true. And if amongst your family, you always feel like you're the clown of the family, or you're the stick in the mud, that you're the outsider, God wants you to know that that story, it just isn't true. Or maybe it's around a group of friends where you always feel like you're sort of on the outside, that you're not as good as the rest of them, that you haven't had the successes in life that they have, that you're somehow on the outside looking in. God wants you to know that that story, it just isn't true. You see, folks, our successes in life may not be the final story for each of us. But here's the thing I know. For God, our failures in life are never fatal. Because there are absolutely no outsiders to God's love. Over the last couple of years, we've had some teams that have been working to prepare us to consider a building project here at the church. And here's what I know about a lot of churches. They build beautiful buildings for insiders. They sort of spend a lot of time and money building a Taj Mahal or a clubhouse for the people that are already here. By contrast, the people who have been on the leadership team for this project, I've been so proud of them. They've been really conscious that there are many of us who have been a part of this church for a long time, and there are going to be some things that just aren't going to change. We will always worship in this space. At 8:30, well, maybe not 8:30, we might change the time, but we're not going to talk about that now. But we will always have a traditional service in this space. But the group also recognizes that for folks who maybe haven't been a part of church, that sometimes this can be confusing. And that we maybe could provide a space that would be more and more welcoming to folks who maybe we'd call outsiders. You see, what I'm so proud of the group of leaders is that they recognize that not only inside, but out in our community, there are people who know that our successes aren't always the final story in our lives. I think they know that. And that there are people in our community who need to hear that our failures are never fatal to God. That there are absolutely no outsiders to God's love. And so we want to create space, create room, so that all can hear that message. You see, this project isn't about just being big. It's not simply about creating space for insiders. You see, this is so that all may hear, so that all may know that this is a place where there are absolutely no outsiders to God's love. That's been a part of the story of this church from the very beginning, and I pray it will be till the very end. Folks, there are absolutely no outsiders to God's love. In our lives, our successes may not be the final story in our lives, but our failures are never, ever fatal to our relationship to God and to one another. Let me offer a word of prayer. Gracious God, you know that in each one of us, there's a story we tell ourselves. It's a story that leads us to believe that somehow we're excluded, that we are outsiders. God, you have a different story. You tried to change the attitudes of those people way back when, and we ask that you'd change our attitudes, that we would know that there are absolutely no outsiders to your love for us and for our community. There never was and there never will be. God, we give thanks for that love, and we pray this all in your name. And all God's people said.